Gamertag Radio presents E3 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Hello, everyone. My name is Matt. I am a gameplay scripter at Larian Studios, and I have one quick question for you guys. Do you want to go on an adventure today? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. See some dragons, maybe some elves, some other stuff. All right. Let's jump into Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition. So, like any good adventure, we got to find out who we are. We got to create our avatar inside of character creation. Now, you can choose from either dwarf, elf, human, or lizard, as well as things such as your class. So you can choose a preset class, or you can create your own custom class from the ground up. I think my favorite part of character creation is getting to choose my own background. Now, if you want, you can play as a blank slate character, or you can choose to play as an origin character, like Fane.
Don't stare. How would you look after eons in some ghastly crypt? Your people are rather prone to death. Mine are not. Yet when I emerged from my completely unjustified imprisonment, I found them gone. Our culture forgotten. Any trace of the world I knew all but obliterated. I must even hide my true face beneath an ever-shifting mask for fear you savages will attack me. That is how I wander this strange world, trying to uncover the truth about a history you primitive people never even knew existed.
Fane is one of our six origin characters. Now, if you do choose to play as an origin character, during your 100 hours of gameplay, you're going to have your own unique character arc, which means unique quests, unique dialogue options, and unique world interactions. So we're going to finish up character creation here, just choose a few little knickknacks, adjust our appearance, all that stuff, and then we are going to jump into our adventure, into the world of Rivellon, where we as sorcerers are being persecuted for the source inside us, for the power that we hold. Now, the Magisters have rounded up all the sorcerers and thrown them into the penal colony of Fort Joy. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'd rather not be stuck in a penal colony. We gotta find a way out. So, jumping into gameplay here, you're gonna notice we are in real time, but that's about to change. We see some enemies up ahead, and I think we should get the first strike on them. Let's go in invisible and try to get that first strike. Or, in this case, the first chickening. You see, once combat starts in our game, gameplay changes and goes to turn-based. So turn-based is fantastic, especially in a game like this where you have so many options with skills and world interactions, because it gives you as much time as you need to plan out and execute your moves to achieve victory. See, because of the dynamic between real-time and turn-based, we were able to subdue one of our opponents to make it a more even fight with the first Voidwoken, take him out, and now go back to the chicken enemy and finish him off. Going back out of combat, we return to real time. And I don't know about you guys, but if we're going on this huge, big adventure, I feel like, you know, maybe we could use a friend or two. Some jolly cooperation. Let's see if we can find somebody here. How about this guy? He seems pretty cool. This is actually the Red Prince. He's another one of our six origin characters. You might actually recognize him from character creation, because you see, any origin character you do not pick inside of character creation will show up in the world. Like I was saying before, these characters have their own unique stories and character arcs. So, even if we do recruit him as a companion, there's no guarantee that he'll always be on our side. You see, he has his own motives and things he wants to accomplish. So based on our actions and our decisions in the game world, he may betray us, or he may help us to the very bitter end, betraying his own motives to help us succeed. It's all up to our decisions. Now, I think it's a good place to point out while we try to recruit him that Divinity Original Sin 2 has over 1 million words and fully voice-acted dialogues. All the dialogues are fully voice-acted, including the narrator notes. So let's take a listen to that.
It's a bit of a snack. But never you worry. For the throne I was destined, and my throne I shall have. Truly. A kind offer indeed. And you've already proven to be trustworthy enough. You came back for the others on that ship, after all. Fine. I accept. Even if you are as versed in the art of eloquence as I am, that our swords will be doing a lot of the talking from here on out, it goes without saying.
So it looks like the Red Prince decided to join us, which is fantastic. We can always use another friend. Now, maybe you're wondering, what if I like the Red Prince's character, but, you know, I don't need another fighter in my party. I want to have a good character composition. Well, that's absolutely fine, because when you recruit a companion, you actually get to choose their initial starting character class. So you can have the best of both worlds. But let's continue on our journey. Seems we come across a bit of an obstacle here. You got that ooze on the ground there. That's poison. You don't really want to step in that. But thankfully, the Red Prince has Fire Breath skill, which allows him to ignite that poison, or into fire, and eventually that fire will turn into smoke, which allows us to pass. Now, every single one of our 200 skills in the game can be used both inside and outside of combat. We allow skills to help you interact with the world around you, not just by punching people in the face, but allowing you to traverse different puzzles and areas in the game. Now, you're going to notice coming up here that even though I'm in dialogue with the character, I can still switch to another one of my characters and have a fully interactive game. So, while I'm talking to this elf, the Red Prince is going to sneak up behind her and take a few things from her. You know, I mean, we need to gear up, we need a weapon, some armor, all that, so I'm sure she won't mind too much. But now that we've got our loots, I think it's time to make a quick escape, because she's going to notice pretty quick that her stuff is gone. So we continue our journey in trying to find a way out of the fort, and we end up in the ghetto here, and it's not a very nice place. See, these brutes over here are trying to shake down this elf and this man for the money they got in their pockets. And now that we've been sucked into this event, we have to decide how we want to interact with it. Do we maybe want to take a step back and say, nope, not my problem? Maybe we want to join the side of the brutes? Who knows, maybe make a quick buck? Maybe we want to be the good guys. Maybe we want to resolve this and make sure everyone's happy. Let's see what we decide to do.
No one shorts Griff, especially not one of you.
The intense-looking man stands beside you against the thugs, shooting you an appraising glance. Burrow looks you both up and down, sizing up your combined threat.
Ah, get out of here, the both of you. You ain't worth a sweat on my brow, anyhow.
The elf smiles.
Diplomacy has won the day here. It didn't need to resort to bloodshed, but it easily could have. The elf thanks us for helping her out, and she's going to help us out later on down the line. But the real cool thing here is the man that we helped. See, this guy is actually Ifan Ben Metz, another one of our six origin characters. And because we decided to help, he will be willing to join. See, if we had decided to go against that, he may have actually attacked us and would not have been able to recruit him. So, we continue further in with our newfound party into the fort itself. But it's very dangerous here. There's magisters all around, so we got to be careful. Now, you're going to notice something pretty interesting here. The UI has changed. You see, we've actually had a friend join us. Divinity Original Sin 2 allows for couch co-op gameplay. So if you and your friend or your significant other want to jump down and play through the whole game, that's absolutely fantastic. Even if your friends aren't with you in the same room, we allow for up to 4 people to play together in the same campaign through online play. And it's a good thing that we have our friend with us here. Because while we talk to this magister, we're going to have Ifan sneak around the other way to try to get into a better position in case this goes south, in case we jump into combat. So Ifan will have the perfect tactical position. See, you're always able to manipulate the game a little bit by taking advantage of all your characters at the same time. And it's a good thing that we did, because the magisters didn't seem to like what we found out. You see, we found out that They have been taking all the prisoners in Fort Joy and turning them into these horrific beasts called Silent Monks. Now, I don't know about you, that doesn't sound like a very good proposition to me. And unfortunately, they don't really want us to leave with that secret. So we gotta go into combat. But it's a good point to talk about some of the cool things we have in combat here. You're actually gonna notice that we have three different health bars on our screen for each of our characters. Wonder what those do. Well, first off, you have the red health bar. That is, well, your health. Once that goes to zero, you're dead. The next one is the blue health bar. That's your magical armor. See, that blocks all incoming magical attacks and status effects and prevents them from hitting your health. For example, if somebody were to shoot a lightning bolt at me, my magical armor would protect me from that. Now, normally, if someone shot with a lightning bolt and I didn't have any magical armor, I would be stunned. But if I still had some magical armor remaining, it would block the stun effect. So it's very important to keep your magical armor up, otherwise you're very vulnerable. On the opposite end, you have the gray bar there. That's your physical armor, and that protects you from both physical attacks and physical ailments, such as getting knocked down. Similar to this Magister here, you see she has no physical armor, the Red Prince is going to use Battle Stomp, and she gets knocked down, which means she has to skip her next turn. And it seems like we're doing pretty well in this combat here. We're kind of owning these Magisters, huh? But we've kind of made a bit of a mess on the ground. You see all these cool different surfaces on the ground here. You've got some ooze that's poison, you've got some ice, and some oil. All the surfaces in our game are completely systemic and interact with our skills and each other. So for example, if I were to put fire on oil, well, that makes a bit of an explosion, makes more fire. Well, what if I put fire onto ice, like we're about to do here? See, all the ice under that Magister turned into water. Now, you could keep on going and going and going with these different attractions. For example, if I were to use a lightning spell on that water becomes electrified. The next guy to walk on that water gets stunned. So this adds an entirely new, deep layer to the combat system, because you're not just fighting the enemies in front of you, you also have to contend with the environment around you, the dynamic environment, because you can create these surfaces as well with your skills. Now, it means that you can have the environment used against you, or you can manipulate the environment to beat your enemies. It's up to you. And while we finish off the last match here, I think we've got the win in the bag. You're going to notice we've actually unlocked one of the ways to escape Fort Joy, that boat up at the top of the screen there. And it's important to note that there are many ways to escape Fort Joy, not just one. If you want to sneak under the fort itself and contend with the fire slugs there, you can do that. If you want to take a magical teleportation gauntlet from a crocodile, you can do that. Maybe you just want to rush headlong into the gates and fight the Magisters. You can do that as well, but I'd kind of recommend against it. They're pretty tough. See, at Larian, we kind of have a tendency to just keep on adding and adding and adding new things, new content. In fact, Fort Joy here, this entire sequence, used to be just a 15-minute tutorial section. But we kept on adding and adding and adding and adding, and eventually it became its own act, its own 20-hour experience. And in the spirit of adding and adding and adding, I'd like to talk about some of the cool new changes you guys are going to see inside of the Definitive Edition, the Definitive Original Sin. So we actually have 45 pages of patch notes, which is still growing. That's a lot of patch notes. And it includes everything from small tweaks, bug fixes, improvements, to entire system reworks, such as the journal system, which now not only documents what you do inside of the game and your objectives, but it also makes your goals a much more clearer and much more concise. I think, as well, we also have a much more polished and improved arena gameplay mode. And I think the biggest change in the game is actually here, in the City of Arcs. This is a much later act in the game, but it consists of about 40 hours of gameplay. This entire act has been re-scripted, rewritten, just the whole nine yards, more quests added, everything. This is to give the feeling at the end of the game to feel like your choices mattered throughout your entire journey much, much more. Now, another thing you're going to see here that we've added, it's going to be the party inventory system. party inventory system makes it much easier for you guys whenever you pick something up to more easily distribute it to your characters, especially in multiplayer. It's a huge quality of life improvement. I think my favorite change, though, is how much the combats have improved in terms of balance and, cinematics, which we're about to see right here. So guys, despite our 93% Metacritic and our PC Gamer Game of the Year and BAFTA we won for multiplayer, those things were fantastic, but we at Larian thought we could do more with our game because we keep on adding. We really wanted to make the best Divinity we could, so we took your criticism, your feedback, added the things that we couldn't get to in the original dev cycle, the things we wanted to just make better, and we created the best version, the Definitive Edition. Guys, this is going to be out for Xbox One, PS4, and PC August 31st. Thank you very much for your time.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.